reduce blood flow to an extremity during exercise. Blood flow restricted rehabilitation allows significant strength gains with minimal stress to the involved joint. This is ideal for anyone that is unable to tolerate high intensity workouts, including pre and post surgery. PT Associates of Emporia at 12th and Industrial, 620-208-7878.
All the latest sports news and views, actions and reactions, your questions and comments. This is Saturday Morning Sports Talk on KVOE, 1400 AM, 96.9 FM, live and local.
And a good Saturday morning. Welcome to Sports Talk on this warm first Saturday of August. I guess it is summertime. It's fair time. That means it's supposed to be hot. And we say good morning to you. Sports Talk being brought to you by Longbine Auto Plaza, driven by longbineauto.com. I'm Greg Ray, and Tim Miller taking the weekend off. I'll be joined in studio by Emporia High Athletic Director Bo Welch and Emporia State Soccer Coach Brian Seiler. But before I go any further, I need to say happy anniversary to my wife. 34 years ago today, she said yes. And she said, she hasn't said, I'm seeing you, bye. She's stuck with me the whole time. And today's going to be a busy day work-wise, but we'll see if we can't find some time to spend a few hours together this afternoon or this evening. But happy anniversary, Bern. 34 years.
Congrats, Greg.
Yes, congratulations, Greg.
Yes. Well, and with that in mind, the reason we have Bo Welch in is we're about a week away from the start of practices out at Emporia High. Emporia State will get their practices underway this next week, but August 15th?
August 15th, correct.
Will be the first day of practices for all the fall sports out at Emporia High, and this is just as a kind of a friendly reminder to maybe parents and for maybe those of you student-athletes who are going out for a fall sport. There are some things you need to make sure you have taken care of before you show up for that first day of practice.
Yeah, you know, we first practice starts August 15th, and you know, all of our different sports, you know, going on in the fall, there will be different practice times. You know, the majority of them practicing, you know, around 3 o'clock. We don't have school that day, so you know, they can start around 3 o'clock, and you know, like I said, we're excited about that. You know, some of the big things, though, you know, kind of going in, was talking to Shelley Hammond, our athletic secretary, and she collects all of our physicals, and to be able to practice on the first day, you've got to have a signed, you know, pre-participation physical turned into the office to be able to practice. It's been something that I know every school deals with it every year. It's kind of become a problem with, you know, people being able to get those. Obviously, we've had COVID. We've had all kinds of things. But talking to Shelley, she said we've had some that, you know, we still have quite a few that need to turn a physical in. So, you know, that's a biggie. You know, and when you think about, you know, depending on what sport you're going into, you know, those first few days of practice are important. You know, if it's a sport that we're having tryouts for, if you miss that, you know, if you miss the tryout, you know, because you don't have a physical, you know, that probably doesn't
help your case.
Doesn't sit good for your standing on the team. So, you know, but like I said, we've got 7 sports starting August 15th. You know, and we talked about physicals, and coming up August 10th, there is a free physical clinic at CareArc. I think it starts from 6 to 7:30. Like I said, that's August 10th, and boy, that's a great opportunity for you know, if you don't have a physical yet, to go get that taken care of and kind of check that off the list. So,
and for those who may not know, where's CareArc? It's the former Lyon County Health Department or Flint Hills Health Department on 15th Street.
Yeah, when they told us about it, you know, we were excited. What a great opportunity for anybody, really. You know, I mean, not just you know, maybe our student athletes, but anybody who needs to go get a physical. You know, great opportunity there, like I said, from 6 to 7:30. So,
and this might be a good time too to remind those parents of middle schoolers that they also will need a physical to participate in their particular sport. So if you have a middle schooler or a high schooler that's plan on participating in a sport, maybe not even just this fall, but sometime during the school year, now would be a good time to get that physical.
Correct. Middle school, you know, the rules are all the same as they are at the high school level. You know, if you're just a spring sport, you know, if you're a you know, a soccer player, you know, a female soccer player that plays in the spring, you still have to have a physical in, you know, and might as well get it done now. So, you know, also on August 16th, we have our athlete coaches training, which will start right after our jumpstart day. And, you know, we've got a lot of stations and things set up for our student athletes to complete and kind of get through and kind of heading into our season. And we kind of look at that as kind of values and expectations of our student athletes. So, you know, with all that being said, we're excited. We're ready to get our students back in the building and, you know, and get them competing, you know, and getting them in the classroom.
And I know there's certain grades have to have that concussion protocol setting done. Is there a time before practices start, or is there going to be a time once practices start for that to be taken care of?
All of our athletes have had contact. You know, Ms. Patterson kind of sets all the concussion testing things up, you know, and that's mainly for our freshmen and our juniors, you know, or if you're a new student athlete coming into our school. So I know she's been on that, and that's another thing that, you know, kids kind of wait to the last minute to get that done. But, you know, those things are important, you know, moving into the season. And, you know, that's one more thing coaches have to make sure that they take care of. And you know, those students who are kind of putting that off, you know, that's kind of hurting them. It's hurting their team, you know, because the coach has to continuously get those things done, you know, before they're able to compete.
And, of course, if somebody is interested, if they're new or sometime during the summer they decide, you know, hey, I want to go out for a particular sport, are there ways for them to get a hold of coaches to find out practice times and that kind of stuff?
Yeah, well, we've put some stuff out there. If you look on our, you know, our Facebook page, you look on our, you know, our social media, our Twitter, you know, those things. We've put those things out. We've put all of our coaches' email addresses. I even think we've put out practice times, you know, out there for all of our sports. So, you know, if you look at, you know, I think at 3 o'clock, you know, I think every sport we have is practicing right around 3 o'clock. I think girls tennis plans to start a little bit after because we have our open house that night too. It starts at 5:30 on August 15th. So I think every sport we have is starting right around 3 o'clock. Like I said, lady tennis I think is starting at 7 o'clock. So, but if you have any questions, you know, first off, you could reach out to me, and you know, I could direct you in the right direction. You know, or reach out to our, you know, sport coaches as well, and they will definitely take care of you.
And one thing I've noticed that you've publicized, and the athletic department out of Emporia High has publicized, each sport has its own Twitter account, and each sport probably has its own Facebook account. So if you need more information, you could probably go to those particular locations, and I'm sure there will be information or ways that you can find out that information. And I like that from a broadcaster's standpoint. Each sport, they can go there and find out, okay, how'd they do last night?
Yeah, we're trying to emphasize that, you know, and we've had some, we put that out, you know, a few weeks ago, and we've had a couple other of our sports who've added a social media account since then. So, you know, trying to get that going, and it's nothing big. It's just, you know, information, and I think it's just another way to communicate with our community and our parents you know, I think if used well, social media can be a great thing. Obviously, it can be a negative as well. You know, but I think for what we're looking for, you know, we want to publicize our athletes. We want to let people know what's going on with our individual programs. And you know, I think our coaches do a good job of that.
Well, any new coaches out at Emporia High? Well, obviously, there's going to be a new boys basketball coach. We know about Lee Baldwin, who's taking over for you since you're moving up into the big office, so to speak, the athletic director's seat. But any other new coaches at Emporia High this year?
Not that I can think of. You know, this fall, I'm just excited to get us going. You know, we had some coaches who were new last year, you know, and this is kind of second year, and we're kind of moving forward, and just kind of excited to see kind of where we're going. And you know, I've been there, you know, as a new coach, you want to prove you can do the job. And as you start to get more comfortable with the job, you get better at it, you know, because you take a little pressure off yourself. The most pressure you put on or have is, you know, really from yourself. So, you know, I think we've got some coaches that are settling into the job. And like I said, I'm looking forward to seeing us move forward this season.
For you, this being the first year, are you excited for your first year as an athletic director?
I am, you know, but, you know, the things that stick out for me is obviously, yes, like I just said, being excited about, you know, seeing things kind of move forward. And but there's also a little bit of anxiety there. There's some things, you know, you don't know what you don't know. You know, there's,
yeah, that's
there's,
true.
There's things you got to experience and kind of go through to learn. You know, people always ask me, you know, you think you're ready for it? You think you're ready? And my comeback is, do you know if you're ready? You know, I think you just got to dive in and start doing the job, and that's how you learn. That's how you get better.
It's kind of like being an athlete. You don't know what you don't know sometimes until you get in there, and then you kind of learn on the job. And once you start feeling comfortable, you become a little more confident, and things go a little smoother. Well, again, if anybody needs information, what's the number out at the high school that they can get a hold of either you or the athletic secretary?
Well, you just call the main office, 341-2365. They will get a hold of you. And you could go up the line, 341-2366-67. and they can get a hold of me. You could also email me, and it's just, it's my name. It's BEAU.WELCH@USD253.net. We want kids to get involved. We're trying to push that this year, getting more kids involved and letting people know kind of what's going on and kind of making people comfortable with the process. Like I said, 'cause we're really looking forward to moving forward and kind of kicking things off.
And it sounds like if what was seen this summer, this fall, we could see an increase in involvement from students.
Yeah, I think so. You know, I think you look all around, everywhere, numbers have been down, and I kind of feel like right now we're kind of pushing forward into kind of our first kind of back to normal season, really, in what, 3 years, you know. So things have, I feel, have been, you know, very normalized this summer, and I think that people are starting to get back to, you know, to doing more and getting more comfortable with things. I think it's exciting. I think it's exciting for our coaches, and we're just ready to go.
Well, and for you this summer, you've been busy following your youngsters around playing baseball and softball, and seen some tweets. It sounds like your youngsters had a pretty successful summer.
Yeah, they had fun. We had fun. It was it's a lot of time. It's a lot of sweat and fun, and everybody always tells you that you only have a certain amount of time to do those things, so we try to soak it up.
And it's always fun when your kid has his first. I saw a couple times first home run, playing baseball, and a couple of other firsts. That's the exciting part.
Yeah, it is. You know, we had a couple of those. My oldest hit some home runs this year, and one of my youngest hit quite a few in a tournament there in July, and my other son actually came 6 inches from hitting his first in that same tournament, hit it off the top of the fence. So it's kind of a competition amongst them, which sometimes can be stressful as a parent. But like you said, it's those memories we create and kind of things we take with us that we're after and we'll kind of always look back on.
Well, Bo, thanks for coming in this morning. Hopefully everybody can take notes that, you've got a week before practices start out at Emporia High. Make sure you've got your checklist, and most importantly, make sure you have the physical for your youngster or your youngster. If you're a student-athlete, make sure you've got that physical before that first day of practice if you haven't already turned it in, because that's going to keep you on or off the field for that first day of practice, which is always a key first day. Again, thanks for coming in today, Bo.
All right, yeah, thanks, Greg.
That's Emporia High Athletic Director Bo Welch joining us here on Saturday Morning Sports Talk. We'll take our first break. We'll be back with more right after this timeout. This is Saturday Morning Sports Talk. We're driven by LongmineAuto.com.
Everyone's transportation needs are different, and everyone knows that. Depending on your stage of life, your needs will continue to change. That's why, at Longbine Auto Plaza, we're ready to help you find the right vehicle and provide you with the best customer service available, too. We have a professional sales team that can match your needs with the right new Chevy or Buick models. Or if you're looking for a pre-owned model, we've got those, too. We'll even be glad to make an offer to you on your current vehicle if you're wanting to sell it. Remember, after the sale, our award-winning service will always be ready to keep you on the road. Our commitment to you, our customer, will always be there. So come in today and let us help you find what you're looking for. That's Longbine Auto Plaza in Emporia. Come see us or visit us at www.longbineauto.com. Longbine Auto Plaza, where we do business right. Chevy, find new roads.
Circle August the 12th on your calendar for the ESU Athletic Kickoff Bash to be held in Webb Lecture Hall in Emporia State's Memorial Union. It begins with a social hour and silent auction at 6 o'clock. A program and live auction begins at 6:45, followed by live entertainment by Howl to Go Dueling Pianos presented by Michelin. Register in advance at esuhornets.com. Click on tickets. Regular admission $75, VIP table $700. The ESU Athletic Kickoff Bash, August the 12th.
Live and local sports news and views. Saturday morning sports talk on 96.9 FM and 1400 AM KVOE.
Welcome back. Saturday morning sports talk driven by LongbineAuto.com. I'm Greg Ray, now joined by Emporia State soccer coach Brian Seiler, the head coach of the 14th-ranked Lady Hornet soccer team, preseason nationally ranked. Hey, nice honor for the girls.
It is nice. It's also ironic that we happen to be 14th at the end of last year as well. So the same number. So evidently we didn't move any direction in the offseason.
Well, you did lose. You're going to have to replace some quality players, but you do have a lot of quality players coming back. And when Mackenzie DeMarco's at the top of that list, the All-American, you have to be pretty excited because she seems to bring out the best in everybody.
Yeah, I mean, she's a threat to score, Greg, in any game. And we've played, obviously, a lot of good competition in the MIAA, in the national tournament, and she is a threat no matter what team it is. So, yeah, she's that constant goal-scoring threat, averages over 20 goals a year. Our issue won't be the offensive players we have coming back are really good, just turning a very new back line and – so we got to defend as well.
Well, I'm sure you're kind of anxious to see how many players who are going to that you have penciled in the back line have been on the team, and it's just their turn to gain some playing time.
Right. We didn't have that many waiting in the wings. To be honest with you, we had only one or two subs last year in the back because, generally speaking, in the back, they play the whole game. They don't come out. You know, it's in the offensive side. We tend to rotate a little bit more. So with that being said, there's not as many waiting in the wings unless we were to switch somebody's position, you know, that could play multiple positions. It's more going to be players who are just coming in as a transfer or a freshman for the first time this year.
Well, the most important defensive player is your goalie, and I know you've got a new goalie coming in.
We do. We got a goalie from Texas. You know, we're still only at two goalies. Ideally, you'd like to be at three. But she's a good keeper, and Tori has been always pushed Jillian to the limits. So Tori's been here for 3 years, and she's been like the best number two or 1B, 1A, whatever you want to call it right there. You know, with her the whole time.
So you'll have a little competition there for that goalie spot.
We do. It's funny because competition is the main word of our training camp, you know, our 2 weeks. We get an extra week this year, and we'll need it because of all the new faces and the competition that we have amongst ourselves. From COVID year, I guess, the year we lost, to last year where we won the MIAA tournament, we had every player back. You know how rare it is to have every player back? You know, it just doesn't happen very often. So we knew what our team was, and we kind of knew who held down those spots, you know. But this year it's just totally different. You know, we have a lot of competition for those spots, and it's going to take more than a day to figure it out. It's, you know, so we'll see how preseason goes and how we're competing and see who wins those spots.
Let's go back to the spring just a little bit. Your team was coming off the MIAA tournament championship, and then you hosted an NCAA regional tournament. Did you see maybe the eyes a little wider open and maybe a little bigger bounce in the step, maybe a little more determination from the girls that are coming back saying, you know, we have some unfinished business from last year?
Yeah, I mean, I thought the spring was going to be tough because, like I said, it was 8 or 9 in total, 6 starters. And we barely had a couple, two subs left after that. So I thought it was, and we had to change people's positions because we only had two defenders, actually have experience playing defense. But we did, they did well. So they stepped up, the ones that played a lot, definitely, I think, when you get to the top and you win something like that, I think it drives you, to do it again, and to maybe even go further, in the national tournament or whatnot. That last game, obviously, was just, it's a typical soccer game where you do everything right but score. And that's what happens, it's going to be these players that are coming back are going to have to, the biggest thing is for them to allow the freshmen to grow quickly and to just do things that make them feel comfortable right away, on and off the field. So we're excited about that. I'm sure they're excited about this year. I'm interested to see. We talk about goals every year as a team, and it's really important. Last year was the first year we had a goal. Somebody put, we want a ring. And that was a goal. I'm thinking about, you want your goals to be measurable, right? Well, that's measurable, right? It's a physical thing. So it's just, we got it, So I'm interested to see what their goals are this year, with kind of a team that's almost half new.
Well, and getting back to the defense, you're not completely without experience. You have Joni Westcote back, all-conference defender.
It's a big one. She's just our lightning rod back there, our enforcer. She's a hard tackler. She's intense. And she does everything. She's got a strong leg. She can run. She makes goal-saving tackles. She takes about all our kicks out of the back. Now, especially with Ashlyn and Sydney gone, her leg's going to be needed back there. But, yeah, big on set pieces, corner kicks, and stuff like that. So, yeah, she's a big one in the back. And the starters we do return, not just Joni, not just Mackenzie, but Aislinn Hughes in the middle, Hannah Woolery. These aren't just starters. These are first team, all MIAA people, they're studs. And they're right down the middle of the field. So we have a forward, we have two center mids, and then we have a center back. So it's a good place to have them for sure. We just got to make sure we fill in all the gaps. But yeah, we're excited about Joni in her, progression this year. And actually, I saw her yesterday at Hyper, and she said, "Coach, I'm going to do my COVID year." So it's like, all right, Joe. So that's good. So she has another year even with this year.
Well, that's good to hear. And I know there are a couple of players that could have had this year again, but, sometimes life takes you in other directions, and you can't fault them because they've got their education already.
Yeah, and sometimes you don't know to the net last minute. It's like Joe says now, she will, but could it change? It could. Can I control it? No. So it is what it is. We did have a bunch that decided not to, but like Ashlyn's a nurse and she got a job at KU Med. So what are you going to do?
You can't beat that.
You're not going to hold that off. And you wish them the best and thanks for what they gave you. And if you're going to go, you might as well go on a MIAA championship. That's a good time to go.
Again, we're visiting with Emporia State soccer coach Brian Seiler here on Saturday Morning Sports Talk. And, I mentioned, next person up, who are some of those players that fall under that category of, hey, you're the next one up. It's your turn to show that you can get it done.
It's somewhat, some of the people that have been here a while, I would say Angie Palmer's been a starter on the wing for us. We did lose a couple center midfielders. I think she's going to have to move into the center midfield and help us this year. She's very capable of being a playmaker like Hannah, you know, in the assist category, setup person, as well as scoring some goals for us. So she's going to be a junior this year. I think she could take the next step for sure. Kylie Rowe is the tall center midfielder that we have from Pleasant Hill, Missouri, that played high school with McKenzie a year below her. Same thing. They've been playing a lot, but maybe not as much as, you know, some of the other girls. And their minutes might increase and their roles might increase a little bit to take that next step. That's just a couple I can think of offhand. Haley Sparks is a wing from Wichita. She started sometimes on the wing, otherwise came in off the bench. I rotated a lot of people up there. She's capable of taking that next step. People are going to double team McKenzie. You know, it's just going to happen. They're going to be physical with her, and they're going to try to take her out of their game, you know. Just like in basketball, sometimes you don't let one person beat you, right? So other people are going to have to step up, and Haley's one of the other ones that could do that.
She's obviously had that situation where people are going to double team her a lot ever since her high school days. But have you seen her become, handling that physicality better? Is she better at handling that physicalness?
Yeah, she is. There's times where she gets, beat up pretty good, and, that could affect her a little bit sometimes. But I think overall she's handled it well. But, of course, we've found a way, to win, yeah, regardless of that situation. So that helps as well when you're able to figure things out. But if it was a situation where she's being manhandled, the refs were letting it go, she's being double teamed, and we're not able to figure out another way, then it could become, a frustrating situation.
How much were you able to work with your players during the summer? How much, or I know we to use football, for example, we know they have a bunch of guys who stay during the summer. Do soccer players do that, or do they spend most of the summer playing on summer league teams?
Yeah, a lot of them are. We don't do it. I like to, our season's a grind, and we have 2 weeks of preseason. My thought is, and we have a lot of experienced girls that know how fit they need to come in, and if you don't know, you learn real quick, So. I don't make them come in because I think, I guess I want them to have their summers. I want them to be able to work, to have fun, to train on their own, but at the same time, not get burnt out. Because the most important part of the season is the end. When you're in the MIAA tournament, you try to make regionals, you're making a run at that. I want there to be gas in the tank then, In my experience, a lot of the teams that don't have success down the stretch just are burnt out. They want to be done,
Yeah.
And I think, having them, making them be here, in the summer is different, And I don't want to do that. But to answer your question, they have a specified plan they're supposed to follow, in the summer. I'm not allowed to get reports on that, but... they do have a plan, and if they stick with it or even close to it, they should be in good shape. They also know the fitness tests. They know what they are, and they can practice them. All they need is somebody timing them, and they should be good to go. So they do put the work in, and our sport is – they're even talking about changing the sub-rules to now have the first half and second half the same. This isn't a plan for maybe not this year, but next year. So absolutely no reentry in either half.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So that just goes to tell you it's one more thing to, if I take you out, I can't put you back in either half. It's hard to do with your best player.
That seems to be unbeneficial for the player.
Yeah. I don't know what they're thinking is behind it, other than maybe allowing more people to play in a game because you tend to, or it might be, might that that might go against them because you're not going to take them out.
Yeah, that's true too.
Yeah.
Hey, we need to get another break in. We'll take a break and we'll be back with more. We're visiting with Emporia State Soccer Coach Brian Seiler. This is Saturday Morning Sports Talk. We're driven by LongmineAuto.com.
Everyone's transportation needs are different, and everyone knows that. Depending on your stage of life, your needs will continue to change. That's why, at Longbine Auto Plaza, we're ready to help you find the right vehicle and provide you with the best customer service available, too. We have a professional sales team that can match your needs with the right new Chevy or Buick models. Or if you're looking for a pre-owned model, we've got those, too. We'll even be glad to make an offer to you on your current vehicle if you're wanting to sell it. Remember, after the sale, our award-winning service will always be ready to keep you on the road. Our commitment to you, our customer, will always be there. So come in today and let us help you find what you're looking for. That's Longbine Auto Plaza in Emporia. Come see us or visit us at www.longbineauto.com. Longbine Auto Plaza, where we do business right. Chevy, find new roads.
Follow the progress of Emporia State Hornet football during training camp reports with Hornet head football coach Garen Higgins. KVOE, 1400 AM, 96.9 FM will air reports Monday through Friday beginning on Wednesday, August the 10th. Tune in at 4:30 in the afternoon. Hear from the head coach himself about how practices are going, what position battles may be looming, and prospects for the upcoming season. Emporia State football training camp reports brought to you by Emporia State Federal Credit Union and KVOE, 1400 AM, 96.9 FM, live and local.
Live and local sports news and views. Saturday Morning Sports Talk on 96.9 FM and 1400 AM KVOE.
Welcome back. Saturday Morning Sports Talk driven by LongmineAuto.com. I'm Greg Reid, being joined by Emporia State soccer coach Brian Seiler, whose season, I guess it begins tomorrow when the girls start reporting and checking in, and then your first practice on Monday.
It does. They come at my returners come at 8:30, and then they will the freshmen. We have two blocks of four, I believe, eight girls in the dorms, and our window is from 9 to 11 to move in. So that's our first morning, is moving all the freshmen in, and then meetings, like you said, all day, and physicals, and get ready for Monday.
So how many true freshmen are you going to have on this year's team?
We have eight true freshmen, and two transfers.
So, as you mentioned already, there's some new people coming in, so there's going to be a little bit of a learning curve for them. But are you excited about the new ones you're bringing in?
I am. It's hard to point. I mean, I couldn't pick which ones are going to do what, and which some are going to surprise you, you know. And but there's always some that, you know, might not have. Might not know what it takes from a fitness standpoint as well. But we're excited, Greg. I think our recruiting has taken a major bump in the past few years. And it's hard to replace some of the ones that left, no doubt. But I don't think we're going to drop totally off with what we have, too, either.
Well, they were freshmen at one time, too. So
they were.
And sometimes you get that lightning in a bottle like McKenzie. But you kind of knew what she was capable of doing coming out of high school. But translating that, making that translation and transition from high school club-level soccer to the collegiate level sometimes can be a challenge.
Yeah, you see a lot of goal scorers in high school or club soccer that come into the MIAA or D2 in general, and you know, they'll have like two or three goals or something like that. So it is a different level, and it's hard to be a standout at this level. But we just need people to come in and fill the roles, and we're not asking our new players to be like first team. It'd be great if they were first team all MIAA, but we just need them to be solid, you know, and let our studs, offensive studs, and people like that continue to grow and develop. But our role players around them need to be good, need to be solid.
You're 3 weeks from yesterday, from kicking off the season. You'll be heading down to West Texas A&M, Canyon, Texas, to open up the season. And that will include a trip to Austin after that for the second match. But you're going to be putting in some miles on the road the first couple weeks of the season.
I know. It is crazy. I believe it was like 9 out of our first 10 games are on the road. And 4 of those weekends, we don't come back. So we are got the charters reserved and hotels reserved, and we are going. So, yeah, from one direction of the country to the other, we've always went to different places. Greg played different leagues and whatever. And, of course, North Dakota is a regional opponent, as we always battle with them for regional spots, so that's good. But one thing is that every team, I think, has a winning record as well. They're, I think Don put it out, like a 750 winning percentage or something overall. Our schedule's pretty tough, and so it could help us or hurt us. I don't think it's gonna hurt us in our regional rankings when we play really good competition, but you got to win some of them too.
And then, of course, the MIAA, besides you, Central Missouri was ranked, and I saw Central Oklahoma was receiving some votes. So, and the thing that I've noticed the last couple of years, there are a lot of schools that are making an investment in women's soccer.
They are. Our conference has gotten better. The bottom is no joke either. You know, we do have a bunch of new coaches. There was a lot of turnover last year. So when you have a new coach, you know, who knows what kind of crop of kids they brought in, you know. So there could be just a lot of unknown this year, which is exciting. But at the same time, you gotta come to play every game, because you don't know what it's going to be like. You don't know what kind of style of play these new coaches. I think it's 5 or 6. It's half our conference, Greg, our new coaches. And so from a tactical standpoint, you know, it's hard to go off of much. You know, film from last year won't really help you, because you don't know how they're playing. So we're going to have to do a lot of homework this year really quick.
Well, the way I look at it is they have to figure out a way to try to beat you guys.
Yeah, right. That's true. That's true. But we do try to take an approach, even though that is true. We try not to take that approach, because we want to be prepared, you know, as much as we can.
Well, your first home match will be against Fort Hays State on September the 11th. And then you also have what? Do you go to Kearney?
We go to Kearney. And it's weird, because we always play Fort Hays like twice within a week. And so the last time we play Hays is our non-counter at home. And then when we go to Kearney, that's our final non-counter, and then the next one is at Hays, and that's a counter. So we will go to Kearney, and then we'll just go to Hays right
to
from
Hays.
Kearney. Yeah.
So that's the way. And then you do have your share of home matches this year. So
at the end, yeah. We play 6 out of 8, 6 out of our last 8 at home. So if we can get through that first 10, you know, at a decent clip, you know, being road warriors and far away for that, then having 6 out of 8 at home should bode well. And the good thing is that last 8, the 6, they're all counters. So,
and who knows what you're playing for? Maybe you're playing for that conference regular season championship. And the thing is, last year your team was so close, and they were able to beat some really quality teams in some tough matches, and that had to have been the encouraging part about last year, winning those close matches against quality teams.
Yeah, I mean, it's a one-goal league, Greg. It's a one-goal league. It goes down to the wire. Heck, we tied one in the last 14 seconds, you know, and so you know how close it can be. And you're either going to have when you win a lot of close games, you have a great year. But if you lose a lot of close games, you can have a miserable year. You know, it's just the way it goes.
And way the ball bounces. Sometimes, yes, you have to create your own bounces, but sometimes the other team creates the bounces, yeah. And it's a tip of the hat. But I hope Emporia State soccer fans are excited for this upcoming season after what they experienced last year, and that's the one thing that really kind of stands out. It's the fan support that you got last year.
Yeah, it was great. You know, especially on the Fridays, sometimes are hard because it's middle of the day and whatever. But generally, I think a lot of the teams caught on, and they'd be on the hill and rooting us on. And so that was fun. A great atmosphere. We have a lot of Sunday tailgating, you know, events, and people come and cook food and have a good time. And you don't even have to come in the inside that area to have a great time. You can watch and honk your horns or whatever the case may be. But it was a kind of a festival atmosphere, and I think everybody kind of pumped us up and all, you know, that stuff being there.
Speaking of a festival atmosphere, this year is the festival year for fall sports at the NCAA level, which means at the end of the year they'll bring the championships for volleyball, soccer, and
cross country.
I think all to one location, and so it'll be a festival, championship festival, and that hopefully that's something your girls get to experience.
I mean, that would be awesome. It's the Final Four, yeah. Going to Seattle, so that would be a dream to if you're going to pick a year to go, it seems like a festival year is a good one to pick, you know, going to Seattle. So all expenses paid trip to Seattle, we would take that any day, yeah. And I mean, that's the goal. I mean, it would be quite a challenge to get there. You got to get through the MIAA. You got to get through your regional. You have to get through Grand Valley. If you can do that, then
you've got a shot.
You can win it all.
So is soccer, have they talked about maybe opening things up as far as regionals are concerned, spreading teams out and maybe giving a chance to – because you get some regions where you're going to be top-heavy and you're going to have some teams that probably could make a run in a national championship, not making a run.
I was at a convention in Indianapolis, and it came up, you know, about regionalization or whatever, and it always seems to come back to money. And the NCAA is paying for, you know, people to travel and, you know, so I don't know. It definitely it comes up, Craig, I can tell you that, but it seems to always get kind of shot down because of money. But to me, there's other ways you can go. You could still mix it up and keep some of the travel the same, you know. So what, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So we could go a different direction. Instead of going north, we could go south, or we can go west, or whatever. But maybe then they'd have to move somebody else that was too far and whatnot. I don't know all the logistics of it, obviously,
yeah.
But I do know that when the NCAA is paying for all those travel costs and everything else, that it comes down to, you know,
yeah,
money.
Comes down to money, which usually it does with everything. Well, Coach, thanks for coming in this morning. Enjoy your final day off before it starts rolling in with your players coming in tomorrow and the first day of practice. Have a great season, and we look forward to seeing your girls play.
Thank you for having me, Greg.
That's Emporia State soccer coach Brian Seiler joining us here on Saturday Morning Sports Talk. Again, the Lady Hornets, they'll be on the road for a while. Their first home match will be on September the 11th, taking on Fort Hays State. Their first day of practice will be Monday, and if you wanted to go watch them practice, I'm sure you wouldn't mind having people come out and watch your girls practice.
No, we'll actually be in the stadium from 2 to 3:30 doing an inner squad, so that would be the one to watch.
Come in and watch. Okay, you get an idea of who might be playing well and who might be the ones taking over those spots. Hey, before we do go, this is Emporia City Golf Weekend. Both the men and the women playing their City Golf Championships. The men are playing down at the Country Club today. Tomorrow they'll be out at the Emporia Golf Course. The women will be at the Emporia Golf Course today as they'll play after the Sadie Park Sunflower Girls Championship groups get finished teeing off. Emporians Avery Eckert and Olivia Eckert are playing in that Sadie Park Sunflower Girls Championship. And then the two will flip locations. The men will be at the Emporia Golf Course on Sunday, and the women will be at the Country Club on Sunday. And at the end of it all, we'll crown Emporia City Golf Champions this weekend. So good luck to all those that are playing this weekend. And if you're out and about and outside, make sure you do stay hydrated. And if you're getting hot, make sure you find some place cool to get in and take care of yourself. For Coach Brian Seiler, for Bo Welch, I'm Greg Ray. Thanks for joining us. This has been Saturday Morning Sports Talk. It's been driven by LongmineAuto.com.
Live and local, 1400 AM KVOE Emporia, 96.9 FM K245 BQ Emporia.
From ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. In a few hours, the Senate is expected to gavel in for a Saturday session. Democrats hoping to begin debate on the Inflation Reduction Act, but they're waiting to get approval from the Senate parliamentarian on if the measure clears the rules for a simple majority vote. Democrats need all 50 votes in their party without Republican support. ABC's Mary Alice Parks has more on the process.
Basically, each part of the bill gets judged on whether it impacts the government's revenue or spending enough that it can count as budget related. That's the key for Democrats, because budget items can be passed with just a simple majority, just 50 votes, and no Republicans are planning to vote for this bill.
The U.S. urging China once again to draw down its rhetoric and military drills off the coast of Taiwan. Secretary of State Antony Blinken says it's time to resume diplomatic talks.
Blinken calling on China to return to the table and resume discussions after the country cut off talks on a number of issues, including climate change.
The world's largest carbon emitter is now refusing to engage on combating the climate crisis.